Good morning, Leah. We're talking remotely today. You're in New York City. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
How did you go about piecing all this together?
I began researching my parents in college, kind of right around the time when the internet, you know, I got an email address and I could access Google, and I found some of the Providence Journal archives, particularly the articles of this journalist, Dean Starkman, who had written a lot about Peter Gilbert and Gerald Mastracchio, who were the two men who killed my mother. And they were articles that had kind of hung over my family as a shadow. And so to finally read them as a, you know, I was in my early 20s, it was really shocking, but it also gave me the answers I think I'd been looking for a long time.
So in your family, though, there really wasn't much talk about what had happened to your mother and any of that. You just had to kind of figure that out on your own?
My family told me she had died in a car accident. And then in the early 90s, when Peter Gilbert died on his way to skydiving lessons, it was a scandal. And that's when these articles came out by Dean Starkman. They said, "We have to tell you something about your mother." And I said, "Are you going to tell me she was murdered?" And I don't know how I knew that, but I think that kids know a lot more than we give them credit for. I think that because she was a cocaine addict and the murder, you know, was associated with drug users and these sort of low-level mafia members, my family was very sensitive about her memory and about trying not to equate her with those kind of people. But what I came to understand was that that was part of her life and part of who she was, and it didn't take away from her memory in any way.
From the newspaper articles, Carol learned the disturbing details of her mother's brutal death. Believing she had informed on him, known mob associate Gerald Mastracchio strangled Joan Carroll with a motel towel. According to the reported account given by fellow murderer Peter Gilbert, Mastracchio muttered, "Come on, you rat, give me the death rattle," as he pulled the towel tight.
I knew that this article existed that described her death in a lot of detail. And when I found it, I actually sought out, again, Dean Starkman, the author, and met up with him in New York, where I live now, and asked him about that, about the inclusion of that. And the reason that he chose to include it in his reporting was that there's almost a nostalgia for the mafia. And in some ways, Crimetown plays a little bit into that. And he was an outsider. He wasn't from Rhode Island. And when he said that, when he saw that phrase, he wanted people to understand how truly evil these men were, and that it wasn't glamorous. And it was important for me to explain it, to explain that brutality and to understand the way in which she had gone, and to understand that in the context of her life. She was only 30 years old. She had a lot of years left, and she was taken in a very brutal way.
Now, the men who did that, Peter Gilbert and Gerald Mastracchio Sr., neither one of them ever paid for that crime, did they?
No. Peter Gilbert struck a deal with the Providence Intelligence Bureau, which was a division of the Providence Police. They were investigating the mafia in Rhode Island, and Arlene Violet had just been elected attorney general, and she was on a real mission to bring down the mafia. Peter Gilbert promised that he could connect them to Patriarca, was actually Patriarca Jr. at this point. And so they gave him a 10-year suspended sentence in return for information about three murders and an armed robbery. And then he was going to be kept in witness protection, but that was served under the Providence Police. And so he never spent a day in prison. And in fact, his witness protection involved him staying in Rhode Island and the state of Rhode Island paying for trips to Florida and paying for his home and motorcycles and skydiving lessons. It was pretty nuts.
As you mentioned, when you describe it, you ended up feeling that your mother was basically used by everybody, by the crooks, by the cops, and by the politicians.
Yeah, she was in some ways a disposable person. And I think that that's why it was important for me to reclaim her and to show her with her flaws. She was a drug addict, but that didn't make her life any less valuable than any other's. But for the politicians and for the men who killed her, it made her kind of a bargaining chip. She wasn't the right kind of victim. And I wanted to show that there is no right kind of victim. She was still a woman. She was my mother. She was a wife. She was tough and fun and crazy. And her life meant very little to the people who took it and then to the people who should have been in charge of finding justice for her.
I'm speaking with Leah Carroll. Her memoir of growing up in Rhode Island came out earlier this year. It's called Down City, A Daughter's Story of Love, Memory, and Murder. Now, your father, the relationship with your father is really, to me, the heart of this book. As flawed as he was, there was such a connection between the two of you. Just the descriptions you have of the things you did when he would turn you on to a piece of music or a book and you would respond. It was so touching and just really tragic that he wasn't able to get it together to continue.
Yeah, my dad was in some ways the worst kind of dad. He was an alcoholic. He was manic depressive. He was not reliable in any sort of parental way. But he was the best kind of dad in that he really encouraged me above all else to be intellectually curious. He was just voracious for books and for film and for music. And I was so lucky because I was the person that he really wanted to share all of that with. And I think he aspired to greater things. And I think I was able to go on and do those things because of him.
You know, ultimately, I think he would have been very proud of what you've managed to achieve.
I think that there is nobody who would have rather had a book written about him than my dad. And I, you know, when I finished the book and I was sitting in my apartment one night with my husband, I had turned in the manuscript and I thought, I have everything my dad would have wanted for me. And it was a really great feeling.
And you're living now in New York City?
Yes.
Do you come back to Rhode Island or are you done with Rhode Island?
I love Rhode Island, and I actually married a man from Rhode Island. We met in New York, so as soon as we met, we knew, you know, three people in common.
Oh, that is so Rhode Island.
It is very Rhode Island, and both of our families live in Rhode Island. My family primarily lives in Cranston. His family is in Providence and Warwick, so we're there all the time.
Well, Leah Carroll, your book, as depressing as it might seem, was very inspiring to me. And I know your father would have been proud of you. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much.